This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I appreciate you making the John Kincaid Show part of your weekly routine. And boy, there's been a lot of fire this morning, so I'm going to make sure that we get to more of your phone calls. And I'll even try to fit some more in after Jason Cole at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4CBS. I see a new resume line on one of our favorite NFL opinionators. Jason Cole is now editor-in-chief at fansided.com. Well, Jason, I'm proud to hear that because I am a consumer of the product. So that's congratulations to you. Good to hear that.
Thank you.
That is good to hear. Keep everybody on their toes.
It's a fun gig. I'm learning about more stuff than just football these days.
Well, I can tell you this. Here's my impression of Fansided, and I would have, but even before knowing that you were a part of this, so I just saw it this morning. There's always a out of left field angle that I feel sometimes you don't get from other places, and I think that's a good thing.
It's a good thing, and it's what we're trying to do, and it's also we're going to add a lot more original reporting to us and progress from being an aggregator with opinions to being an aggregator with opinions with original reporting. And
good.
It's going to be a great model.
Good luck with that, and we will following along, absolutely. Okay, I want to ask you now. I hear a lot of people doing what I would consider to be fuzzy math. Well, the Cowboys beat the Saints, so the Cowboys are now Super Bowl contenders because the Saints are Super Bowl contenders. Do you do that same math that the Cowboys are now Super Bowl contenders based on a win over the Saints?
No, that transitive math of this team beat that team, beat that team. I think you could make the Raiders a Super Bowl contender if you did that. I'm not sure how, but
yes.
I think you could. I look at more of, can the Cowboys defense do that again in a road environment probably twice? Because I don't see them getting to the one or the two seed, right?
Right.
So they're going to have to play.
No, they can't get one or two, right?
Right. So they can't get one or two. So does that defense hold up on the road against the Saints in New Orleans, the Rams in Los Angeles? And I tend to think the answer is no, but they became a whole lot more interesting. And all of a sudden it was like, okay, I could see that defense winning a championship. Do they have enough offense to go with it? You know, is Cooper going to come along enough to complement Elliott so that when you play another team that can both score and load up on your main guys, can they take one of those guys away? So I think the Cowboys became interesting. I'm not going to take them quite seriously as a Super Bowl contender because I see the road is too hard, but they're in my thought process.
How much does the fact that the Saints now have put themselves in a position to lose home field advantage matter to you and your evaluation of them? Because I don't see the Rams, because of the beautiful conditions you'll probably face out there in January in Los Angeles. I don't really know if they, and their home field advantage tends to be 20 or 30,000 visiting fans. I don't know if it's really the same advantage as the Saints being at home.
Yeah, but you know, Los Angeles, I mean, I grew up there. If it's a playoff game, they'll show up. So they'll fill up the place with, and it'll be, you know, if there's 90,000 seats in the Coliseum, I can't remember what it is these days, but if there's 90, they'll have 70,000 Rams fans, but they're not exactly 70,000 diehard Rams fans. So it's not like being in New Orleans. The one thing I'd say that's a huge advantage for New Orleans is the timing of the game, because it's so loud there that, and it's an imperceptible thing to the naked eye. But the tenth of a second, you know, get off time for defensive linemen that they lose being a visitor there, or that the Saints offensive line gains by being there, makes a difference over the course of, you know, 80 offensive plays. You know, transitively, you get the advantage that the Saints defense gets being at home, because the opposing offense is, you know, got to deal with the sound. So there's a unique advantage because New Orleans is such a huge home field advantage, as opposed to the Rams being an okay home field advantage at this point.
I don't want to spend a ton of time talking about Kareem Hunt and the Kareem Hunt story. I think we all agree domestic violence is terrible. Chiefs did the right thing. But how does it affect the Chiefs? And how much does your opinion of the Chiefs change not having Kareem Hunt now as one of the weapons at their disposal?
It's pretty significant. I mean, I think that, you know, look, I think that Spencer Ware is a nice player. He's not Kareem Hunt. He's maybe 80 to 90% of Kareem Hunt. So if you're talking about huge games, it does become a factor. I think it puts more pressure on Mahomes. So, yeah, I think it's a factor in how the season's going to play out. I wouldn't dismiss it at all. And the only thing I would say is, on the other side of it, because I don't want to spend a lot of time on it either.
Sure.
The NFL's got to come up with a more comprehensive policy that encourages players to do a mea culpa and come forward rather than hiding from this, because guys make stupid emotional decisions that they can learn from and recover from. What's happened with Ray Rice and what's happened with Kareem Hunt, and I'm not saying they should be allowed to play again, but there should be an avenue, and I think that there's no avenue because they tried to hide from the truth rather than facing up to the truth.
And by the way, as you say, guys, that's guys in every walk of life.
Yeah,
and it's, you know, absolutely. And people try to make all these athletes, I always laugh at that. I'm like, you know what? The plumber down the street, the lawyer, the doctor, the talk show host. There are many examples of doing the same. So we can go on
forever.
Sure.
On this.
Exactly. Sure. Tell me about Pittsburgh. I'm intrigued by the Steelers because I don't know whether to take the Steelers as a legitimate, they may be showing up here in Atlanta for the Super Bowl, or they're going to be a team that shoots themselves in the foot at the most critical moment. What's your thought on the Steelers with just the data you've seen this year?
Well, I can't just judge it by the data I've seen this year because it's the same old Steelers, okay? It's the SOS, right?
Okay.
So I think this is a replication of what we have seen the previous 5 years, where you say, okay, that's a team that should have been in a Super Bowl or two and probably won one or two, right? Because they have that kind of talent, right? You look at the Steelers that way. And I look at the Steelers team and I go, they have that kind of talent. But then they do shoddy things, poor clock management, struggling on the road against a Jacksonville team that, you know, outplayed them for three quarters. You know, struggling in this last game and losing it on a sloppy interception by Roethlisberger. Or, you know, Roethlisberger saying things justifying, okay, it's my right, I've got the right to criticize teammates. Well, you might have the right. Okay, that doesn't mean you should do it.
No.
You know.
It's not smart policy.
Yeah, it's not smart policy. Like, okay, I'm gonna, you know, you can do it privately. You've earned that right to do it privately. Publicly, that's a different thing. So, you know, I just get this feeling like their problems haven't been solved. The problems that have persisted over the last 5 years that have cost them a game or two here or there during a season. You know, it's like the tie in Cleveland to open the season. Like, okay, Cleveland's pretty good. They're better than we thought, and they should probably be better than they are. But you shouldn't have tied that team in the opening week. You're just playing better. And those kinds of games come, you know, at the end of the season to cost you home field advantage and ultimately cost you a Super Bowl, and it costs you a legacy.
Are the Patriots less dangerous than they've been in previous years? Now, and now that they're healthy, how much differently do you think about their chances?
No, they're the same. I mean, look, their danger is rooted in two things. They have the best quarterback of all, perhaps the best quarterback of all time, and perhaps the best coach of all time. If you start there as your foundation.
That's pretty good danger.
Yeah.
That's pretty good danger.
Dangerous. Then you throw in maybe the greatest tight end of all time, just on top of that, and it's like, we've got a pretty good three-layer cake going right now, you know?
Do you think the Eagles are done?
Yeah, they're done. I mean, I think that mentally they've been out of this all season. Now, the one thing that can flip on them is they are best when playing from a position of being an underdog. That was proven all last season. Like, they played great football to get to being the number one seed when Wentz got hurt.
Yes.
I think when Wentz got hurt, it just sort of solidified this whole people overlook us, people dog us. You know, that whole thing that Jason Kelce did, remember the speech he did?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, which is great. But that's their mentality. So maybe they can flip the switch on. I think it's really hard to just flip the switch for that long.
I have little reason. And as an Eagles fan, I have little reason to believe in them based on what I've seen so far. But Redskins.
But you enjoyed last season. So.
Oh, I certainly did. Every time I pull in my garage and I see that Super Bowl champions banner that my wife bought me, I'm like, okay, I'm good. I'm good.
I can live with it. I can live with this season.
I can live with it. Hey, guess what? As long as Jason Garrett didn't lose his job, and as long as Jay Gruden's going to be back, and if the Giants play themselves out of getting the quarterback that they want for their future, I'll feel great. Yeah, I'm going to feel real good moving forward.
My favorite thing is like Jason Garrett with that grin that he has every time they win a game. Is that I nailed it.
Yes, we've arrived. We've arrived.
I am just it's sort of like when Tomlin was celebrating so much at the end of the Jacksonville game after the. Yeah, I get back to the Steelers. It's like, why are you celebrating a game that you barely survived? I'd be walking into the locker room going, guys, we got a lot of work.
This isn't good enough. This isn't up to standard.
Right.
You're the man.
Not good enough at all.
Jason, I appreciate your time as always. Thank you, buddy.
No problem.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.